In the middle part of the day, we spent some time discussing the appearance of Lord Vamanadev, Vamana Dwadasi. Nice discussion. And this evening, we're going to be discussing the life of Jiva Goswami because it's his appearance day. And Jiva Goswami, for those persons that are a little bit new, he is one of the immediate followers behind, chronologically, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So should I describe a little bit who was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and go from there? You know who was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? You'd like to hear something. You know who is Krishna? Everybody knows who is Krishna. Good. Good starting point. The concluding instruction of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is Sarvadharmam parityaja mamekam charanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yashami masuchaha. You know the verse too. Fantastic. Aham tvam. And then the meaning? Okay, here's the meaning. Sarva dharmam. Dharma means religious duties. Dharma. Right? Dharma means religious duties. So all religious duties, place them in a position subordinate to one principle that they're all in pursuance of. That one principle is Mam Ekam Sharanam. Sharanam means surrender. Mam Ekam, me alone. Ekam means one. Mam Ekam. Sharanam. Surrender to me. That's it. All other things are pursuant to that one thing. Because it's through surrender to Sharanam, surrender unto Krishna, that we can have access to his devotional service. And through devotional service, Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyas shasmi tatvataha. One can know Krishna. Tatvataha. In truth. So that's the concluding instruction of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Surrender to me, all other dharmas, they're secondary. Krishna's pastimes took place towards the end of the previous yuga, Dwarpa Yuga. And shortly after his departure, the present yuga begins, Kali Yuga. And Krishna began to consider, in this Kali Yuga, who's going to understand how to surrender unto me? Kali Yuga is not a good time. Manda samanda matayo, manda bhagya, upadruta. It's a very, very unfortunate set of circumstances in the age of Kali. And people, they won't easily understand. So I want to do something to help them understand how to. Sarva dharmam parityajamam ekam sharanam. So I could send some representative. But if I came myself and taught how to surrender to Krishna, I'd have to come as a devotee of Krishna. So that's what I'll do. So he appeared, Krishna himself, as the devotee of Krishna. That's who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he came in the bhava and duty, the mood and the luster of Radha. So golden complexion. In the mood of Radha, in her love for Krishna. To teach how to love Krishna. How to surrender to Krishna. Who's better at that than Radharani? And Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Radharani, taught this, the form of love as found in Vrindavan. Because there's this nice description that Goloka namni nijadamni tale chatasya Devi Maheshu Hari Dhamasu Teshu Teshu. So the description is given by in Brahma Samhita. There's Devi Dham, and above Devi Dham is Mahesh Dham, and above Mahesh Dham is Hari Dham, the abode of Hari, Vaikuntha, and above Vaikuntha Dham is Goloka Dham. Goloka Dham is where Krishna resides eternally, and the associates of Krishna in Goloka Dham have a very unique, singularly unique type of love for Krishna. It's a love that's very intimate and personal and very sweet, madhurya, relationship with Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach that. And he had, when he came, when Krishna comes, he doesn't come alone. He comes with all of his associates and everything. His holy abode and all, he doesn't come alone. So amongst Lord Chaitanya's many, many, many very elevated, amazingly elevated associates were six principal personalities who were making Krishna's home in Vrindavan their home. They lived in Vrindavan at the later stages of their life. And one of those was Jiva Goswami, one of the six. And he was very young compared to the others. Well, he and another, Raghunath Das, they were both quite young compared to the others. So here's a little, we're going to describe something of his life. His, Jiva Goswami's father and his father's two brothers were, his two uncles, his father's two brothers, were the chief amongst those six Goswamis. So he was had a very elevated birth. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami were from Saraswat Brahmin families from South India that had migrated for different reasons, heading to Ramakeli in the northern parts of India, in northern parts of then Bengal, Ramakeli. And at that time, the country was ruled by a Muslim ruler named Nawab Hussein Shah. And Nawab Hussein Shah was a mean person, and he was also very clever. So he understood, if I want to rule this territory and further conquer further kingdoms, I have to be able to control the people. So he saw in these three brothers, Rupa, Sanatan, and Anupam, who's Jiva Goswami's brother, all the people in this country look up to them because they're Vaishnavas, they're great, elevated, educated, respectable, looked up to persons. So he approached them and said, I would like to make you Prime Minister and Finance Minister and Home Minister in my government. And I'll give you a choice. You can either do that or I'll torture all the Vaishnavas in the countryside. Do you think it over and let me know what you'd like? And they didn't want either of them, but they didn't want the Vaishnavas to be tortured. So they took up the role of assisting him in his government so he could go off with his armies and conquer new territories. And it was very practical. With the exception, and they moved in an aristocratic circle. Very wealthy people, this and that. They were well educated, and this and that. The eldest brother spoke seven languages fluently, and he was really good at his job. They had no interest. And after some time, they were hearing messages about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because at that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri. He had taken sannyas when he was very young. And at his mother's request, he was making his residence, his ashram, in Puri. So they wrote letters to him. Rescue us. This is a terrible situation. We want to become your devotees. The system at that time was brahmanas would carry confidential, messages like that. And so Lord Chaitanya received their messages and wanted to give his mercy to these three brothers. So you know your geography of India better than I do. Jagannath Puri is on the east coast. Vrindavan is over here, north and west. But so on the plea of going to Vrindavan, he went due north because he wanted to give this association to Rupa and Sanatan. So he went there. And when he went there, that's when Jiva first had his association. The biographies are not 100% clear, but he was just a baby, a newborn child, and when Lord Chaitanya went there to Ramakeli. The eldest of the three brothers, Sanatan, offered some advice. I pacified the Kazi, but he's not to be trusted. He's a very unpredictable and cruel person. If he comes to know that, you have a big following here, he may try to harm you. I don't trust him. So it's best if you don't stay here as much as we want your association. And he gave some other advice. His other advice was, when you go to Vrindavan, don't go with tens of thousands of followers. Etiquette won't be appreciated by the Brijvasis. You should just go with one associate or two, and that's the best. Because he's a prime minister. He knows about etiquette and diplomacy and things. Not that Lord Chaitanya doesn't, but Lord Chaitanya appreciated his wisdom. He went back to Puri and then separately made another journey straight to Vrindavan. Some time passed, and many other things happened. The Sanatan, Rupa Goswami left his government post. Rupa and his youngest brother, youngest of the three, Anupam, they went to go meet Lord Chaitanya. In the course of that travel, Anupam died. Anupam was Jiva Goswami's father. So we're speaking about Jiva Goswami. And when his father died, it was very difficult for him because he was still very young. And now in between, from his early childhood, there are some outstanding characteristics that are described. He was a brilliant scholar, even as a small boy. He had deep attraction for his deities of Krishna Balaram, he would go to sleep with them. He was very attached to Krishna Balaram. And he didn't play like other children would play. He would just, you know, make offerings and garlands and ornaments and things for his deities and recite Krishna stories to his deities, Krishna Balaram. And he was just, Krishna Balaram, they're everything for me. From his father and two uncles, he had heard much about Lord Chaitanya. He had never met Lord Chaitanya other than when he was a little baby. So he was very eager to see Lord Chaitanya. He had some affinity, strong affinity for Lord Chaitanya. One evening in a dream, he saw his deities, and then his deities transformed into Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, because they're also Krishna Balaram. And they danced. And then all of a sudden it was Krishna Balaram again. And he woke up. So that really helped him become really even more fixed in his, it was scholarship and deity worship and detachment from worldly things. When his father died, he was grief stricken. And he started behaving very mad, very disturbed. And the advice was given to him by elders in the community, because he was just with his mother, but the elders in the community said, you should go to the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, take bath in the purifying waters of the Ganges there, and by good fortune, maybe you'll meet Lord Nityananda. It's like meeting Balaram. So he went. He was young, but he just went in a very detached and very determined mood. When he reached the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Navadvip. Navadvip is northwest of Calcutta, about 2 hours drive by car. I don't know how many kilometers that is. And Lord Nityananda was waiting for him. Lord Nityananda said, because he's an omniscient personality, he said, I knew you were coming, and I came here just to receive you. Because your two uncles are very, very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at that time, the mother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still living in Navadvip. That's Mother Sachi. Remember, Lord Chaitanya had taken sannyas, but his mother was still at home. And there was one servant named Ishan. So Lord Nityananda immediately took Jiva Goswami to go meet Mother Sachi. We can imagine what that was like. And, you know, she's the mother of the personality of Godhead. She's full of grace and kindness and affection. She treated Lord Nityananda like her own son. And when Jiva Goswami was introduced, she placed her hand upon his head, let all good fortune come to you. And he was feeling, just by the touch of her hand, was feeling completely relieved of his grief and all the burden. And for a number of days, Lord Nityananda took Jiva Goswami to all the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and described the pastimes. It's recorded. There are books describing what Lord Nityananda and Deva Goswami said and saw and did, and an amazing experience. And at the end, Lord Nityananda gave him sanction to go to Vrindavan and be with his two uncles. because his father was now gone in, from this world. And he said, but before you go, I want you to go to Varanasi and study for at least a year under Madhusudana Vachaspati, who is, it's a long story, but he is a brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It's a long story, for, I mean, if you're new to all this. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the most prominent scholar in the whole country at that time. And his brother was also very scholarly, and he was very learned in the six darshans. You know, the sad darshans, the different ways of reading Vedanta Sutra or studying the Vedas. Nyaya, Karma Mimamsa, the different ways of interpreting the Vedas to come to this conclusion, that conclusion, the other conclusion. Jaimini's teaching, Gotama's teachings, and so on and so forth. So he studied them. It was on purpose. It was custom made for Jiva Goswami, because if his scholarship indicated that in the future he would write books on the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. But to understand and present the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to others, it was very helpful to know what do others have to say? What's their point of view? And where is their defects or shortcomings or errors in their point of view? So when he's seeking Vaishnavism, he can say others say this or that or the other thing, and they know he knew what they would say, and he knew how to refute on the strength of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. So even before he got Lord Chaitanya's teachings, which he got from his two uncles, he received very comprehensive study of those that teach something else. And he learned everything perfectly, and it was very useful him in his writing later on in his life. So he's still a young man. He's still quite young. And with Madhusudana Vachaspati's permission, he went to Vrindavan. He went straight away to Rupa Goswami, the next elder from his father that he knew from childhood. And it was, you know, a family reunion. It was really nice. And Jiva Goswami gave him everything. He gave him protection. He gave him a residence. He knew of his attraction for deity worship. So Rupa Goswami, with his own hand, he didn't go to a shopkeeper. With his own hand, he made deities of Krishna for him to worship, Radha Damodar deities. So this is one of the excellences. I'm going to list about seven of them that Jiva Goswami was particularly known for. And one of them was deity worship. So in the deity worship category, it said that Jiva Goswami served his deity so intimately that sometimes the deity would start dancing. And he would start singing and the deity would dance more and more. They had a very intimate relationship of loving service. And that, so then there's another. The location of the Radha Damodar temple, the place that his elder brother had given him along with the deity, it was central. The other Goswamis, it's like there's a hub and there's spokes of the hub, and they regularly came together at Radha Damodar temple to discuss topics of Krishna. So he was their host, and the host always has to, you know, has good manners of dealing with the guests. And so they were hosted very nicely, and for hours on a regular basis they would come together and just discuss topics of Krishna. And the way that they would discuss topics of Krishna was most elevated, unbelievably elevated. He took the position of being the servant of his uncle, Rupa Goswami, by any menial service that he wanted. One of them, at that time, they didn't have printing presses. They didn't have pads of paper. He just had to prepare leaves to write with a stylus. So Jiva Goswami learned the art, and that was his service for Rupa Goswami's writings. And he became his initiated disciple. He received diksha, mantra, diksha from him. And under Rupa Goswami, he then studied the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So previously he had learned how others view the Vedas. Now he's learning how Lord Chaitanya viewed the Vedas from the very best source you can get. Rupa Goswami was empowered, it's described several places, explicitly empowered by Lord Chaitanya to understand the fullness of his teachings and to be able to express it through written form. So Rupa Goswami trained him in all of that. His own writings and the essential teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So a third contribution that he made as he now matured, Jiva Goswami then began writing. And in the course of his writing, he wrote in Sanskrit 400,000 verses. So just to give you an idea, how many verses are there in Mahabharata? How many verses in Mahabharata? 100,000. 100,000. That's a lot. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, how many verses? No, that's Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is 700 verses. Srimad Bhagavatam is 18,000. So it's like he wrote three Mahabharats, maybe six or seven Srimad Bhagavatams, five or six Bhagavad Gitas and some other books. One man. And it wasn't Vyasadeva. And they're very elevated texts. And by, just to illustrate, I'm a Jiva Goswami fan. I'm a card-carrying Jiva Goswami fan, so I like talking about him. There's a devotee that's now a PhD professor in philosophy of religion named Radhika Raman. And when he was still a teenager, something like 15, he got a full scholarship to Oxford University. Smart boy. Now he's grown up. And his PhD thesis was on three verses of Paramatma Sundarbha, one of Jiva Goswami's writings. A PhD on three verses. And he wrote 400,000. So it gives you an idea. He's, Jiva Goswami's writings, it is said about him that there never has been in the history of the world someone as scholarly as Jiva Goswami. So literary contribution was one of his contributions, big one. But that's not all. His deity worship is also something should be appreciated for. Another is that he had a vision of creating a library. That is, all of the writings of the Goswamis, he had a whole group of Brahmins engaged in making copies. And he kept copies of those literatures in a library. It was visionary to do that. It was important to do that. And it was one of his contributions. And then another contribution, very important contribution, is he trained up the next group of persons who would become in the line of disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya. So from Lord Chaitanya, his two uncles, Rupa and Sanatan, because he was, you know, very young, he succeeded them in disciplic succession. So the Rupa and Sanatan, Jiva Goswami, and then, but he, a very important contribution, he trained up the next group. There were three principal students, and he trained them all. Jiva Goswami received from his Rupa, and he passed all of that on in a very systematic way to the next three persons in the line of disciplic succession. They stayed with him in Vrindavan. They received training and instruction and everything from him. So that's a very significant contribution, training the next. Because had that been interrupted, the line of Lord Chaitanya, it commonly what happens when there's a great personality, a leader, spiritual leader of some kind, Muhammad or Christ or somebody or something, it only takes a few generations and it starts to dissipate. So to keep it strong is a very important service. Very important service. So Jiva Goswami did that. And then another thing that he did, while recognizing that Lord Chaitanya's desire was not only give teachings, but make them available to people, so he sent those three to leave Vrindavan with a bullock cart filled with copies of the literatures to make the literatures available elsewhere. Book distribution. Traveling book distribution party. And three, you know, super powerful, super capable persons to represent the teachings. They knew them inside and out. Now they had copies to distribute to others. Of course, distribute means then the local Brahmins, they would make copies and so forth, because there weren't printing presses. Another significant contribution, a whole other different category, was protection of property. He had the vision, because this is during his period of time, there was Muslim rule practically everywhere in North India, including in the Vrindavan area. So he knew to document in a written form and have it accomplished, because religious people don't have to do stuff like that generally. You know, if there's a deity on a property, it's deity property, you don't touch it. But then fast forward in Kali Yuga, and, you know, it can't just have a deity on the property, you gotta have documents. He had the vision to document the ownership of the Radha Govinda property belongs to the deity and document it and have it approved by the Muslim ruler. So the successive Muslim rulers were honoring what their predecessor Muslim rulers had put in writing. And one of them in particular, he had it done twice. He had a will, because he had intellectual property. Now, modern times there's intellectual property law. It's a field of law. IP law, they call it. He established his property, the intellectual property of himself and the Goswamis who had given it to him, theirs to him. And he had it protected. I mean, scholars don't usually think about things like that. You know, practical stuff. Property protection, intellectual property protection. There's another very important contribution that he made, and that was another one of the six Goswamis was named Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das was living at Radha Kund by Govardhan Hill. And a very wealthy personality wanted to give a gift to Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das says, I don't need money, but you can build Radhakund. So the man was happy to do it. Under Raghunath Das's direction, it was done, and Jiva Goswami was overseeing the whole thing. He helped in a very substantial way, uphold and expand the significance, the dramatic significance of Lord Chaitanya's teaching and Lord Chaitanya's presence and his followers' presence in Vrindavan that remains even until today. Jiva Goswami was so accomplished in deity worship, and because he was younger than many of the others, at the altar at the Radha Damodar temple where he resided, you'll see many Radha Krishna deities. And if you don't know who they are, someone will explain it to you. But they're, because of his power, spiritual power, many deities, when persons left this world and they didn't have someone to maintain the deity worship nicely, they were taken to the Radha Damodar temple, put in the care of Jiva Goswami and the persons he had in charge of the worship of the deity, and there they are today. And here's one example. It's a really nice example. The eldest of those six Goswamis, his name was Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami had a vow that every day he would circumambulate Govardhan Hill. And he did, every day, chanting the holy name, circumambulating Govardhan Hill. And if you walk fast, it takes easily 5 hours, 5-6 hours. And as he got older and older, it was difficult. But he was determined, and very determined. And he didn't need it for purification. It was just a vrata that he had made to Krishna, and he was going to keep his vrata. So Krishna appeared to him and said, Sanatan, you're so old, you don't have to do this anymore. I've made a vow. So Lord Chaitanya said, here's a shila, a stone from Govardhan. I'll place my foot in the shila and make an impression in the foot of my foot in the shila and my walking stick. And so you just circumambulate this 3 times, and it's equal to circumambulating the whole Govardhan Hill. So that's what he did in his elder age. He kept his vrata that way. And then when he left his body, because he was staying it by Radhakund and Manasi Ganga. He had different places where he would stay. So when he left his body was taken back, Sanatana Goswami, his body was taken back to where he had established the Madan Mohan temple, and that Shila was given to Jiva Goswami to maintain. And when you go to the Radha Damodar temple and you ask, can I see the Shila of Sanatana Goswami, they'll show it to you. A few rupees. They'll pull back the cloth and show you. You get the idea. Everyone trusted him in all regards. For property, intellectual property, teachings, deities, their lives. He was a very powerful personality. And he lived for a long time. And he wrote very, very elevated teachings. So I'll just end with this. I'm accustomed to saying he wrote 3 commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, many of you have, or if you don't have, you should have, this set of Srimad Bhagavatams. It's like sits on your shelf like this. So Prabhupada made commentary on almost all of the verses of the entire 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Jiva Goswami had done the same thing. That's one of his three. Then another is just on the 10th canto, which is the largest part, he wrote detailed commentary on each verse in the 10th canto. And then he wrote another commentary, which was topic by topic, called the Sandarbhas. And that's when I mentioned this PhD at Oxford University took three verses from one of the six Sandarbhas and did his PhD thesis on it, to give you an idea of how complex and comprehensive those texts are. Says the Sandarbha. So three different commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. And then there was another that's not exactly a commentary, but it's Gopal Champu, and we've been reading from it a little bit. It's just a poeticized kind of narration of Krishna's pastimes as they unfold in Vrindavan from his childhood pastimes on, chronologically. Very amazing. Very amazing. Laced with, you know, specific verses from the Bhagavatam, but expanding and expounding, and it's really juicy. Very, very sweet. That book was called Gopal Champu, and he wrote another book on how to write a champu. He wrote a text on Sanskrit grammar based upon Lord Chaitanya's teaching of Sanskrit grammar, where everything, all the rules, I don't know Sanskrit, but I know there's lots of rules. And so he made it easy to remember the rules by giving names of Krishna for each of the rules. He wrote a fiction. It wasn't exactly a fiction, but you know, he had his range was enormous. Scholarship was his main notoriety, but he also wrote just stories. Madhava Mahotsava, name of one of his books, and. The second half is Radharani is made queen of Vrindavan, but it's, you know, what's Radharani without Radha, Radharani without Madhava? So Madhava Mahotsav, there was a big festival to make Radha queen of Vrindavan. Krishna arranged everything. It's very interesting, very interesting, very interesting. So, we're honoring the appearance day of Jiva Goswami. And, that he kept the teachings of Lord Chaitanya intact. He expanded them, expounded on them, and passed it on to the next generation. And, there's an institute that has many of those collections of that library. It's called the Jiva Institute. It's in Vrindavan. And it's basically Jiva Goswami's library. And one of the books, they published a little book that shows in Jiva Goswami's own handwriting the commitment that the Muslim ruler gave, that these are properties that belong to the deity, and it's not to be changed. Brilliant. In a similar manner, Srila Prabhupada was very keen on property protection. I mean, he was most keen on the teachings of Lord Chaitanya being made available to people in general, and that his followers would follow and progress in Krishna consciousness. But in the course of that preaching work, properties were acquired, and he wanted very much, knowing how things are in this world, you have to protect something valuable. And property protection was very important to him, as it was with Jiva Goswami. So those are some thoughts to share on his life. Let's see if there's some discussion.
Guru Maharaj, is it even after getting all those documents on property documents on the name of the deities that Aurangzeb did that to Radha Govinda yes. temple? It is he, after that?
Yes. He broke the upper portion of the temple. It's a 7-story building. During that time, there are no such things. But so he broke, but he didn't take the property. He didn't take, you know, the land.
If nobody has questions, there were some questions that were pending from yesterday evening class. And
let's see if there's, just give it a little bit of time and see if there's anybody in the room, and then something online maybe. Go ahead.
Guru Maharaj, like to my level, which literature I should start reading of Jiva Goswami?
Just read Prabhupada's books, because he synthesizes writings of Jiva Goswami. The Sandarbhas are mentioned in many, many places in Srimad Bhagavatam, then again in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, he does it tastefully and tactfully and appropriately for the audience.
Sure.
You know, yeah. Rupa Goswami's writing is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. In English, it became Nectar of Devotion. Right. Jiva Goswami wrote a commentary. And in the commentary, some of the teachings of Nectar Devotion is laced within Nectar Devotion. There's the verses of Rupa Goswami followed by the commentary of Jiva Goswami that's presented now in Nectar Devotion. So, for you, you're getting a smoothie.
Right.
Here's this fruit and that fruit. Put it on high-speed blender and you get a smoothie.
Yes.
It's there.
Yes. Maharaj, I was having another question. Radha Damodar deities, what we see in Vrindavan, are those deities the same deities
Those deities of Jiva Goswami were taken to Jaipur, and you can have their darshan in Jaipur. So there's Pratibhu or replacement deities now in Vrindavan.
Okay. So, Guru Maharaj, like, there is a Radha Damodar temple, which is very close to Govindji temple. So is that the same deities?
The one that's in Vrindavan is the replacement deity.
In Jaipur?
Both. Both the Radha Damodar in Jaipur, the Radha Damodar in Radha Govinda in Jaipur, they're the original.
They're the original. Okay, good.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I was curious to know, Jiva Goswami got initiated later when he grew up. How he had this so much attraction and so much sincerity for the service from his childhood?
He was initiated by Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan. He wasn't initiated when he was a child.
Right, so when he grew up. So I was curious to know, like, from his childhood, how was he so attracted to the deities and the service?
Because he's an eternal associate of Krishna. He was playing a role in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. But you want to know, you know, who was he before he was Jiva Goswami? Or where did that propensity come from? It's a natural propensity because of his spiritual identity. And in his family, his three brothers were great devotees. He grew up in that family.
I have one more question. So in the beginning we spoke about surrender. I wanted to know, like, there are six aspects to surrender we learn. But what is practical for me? I can just say, Krishna, that I am surrendering to you, but I might not have that ability yet to reject the things that are not in favorable to Krishna's service.
Okay. So, to help the people in the room that may not understand her question, there's teachings given about the process of surrender, six in number, six limbs of surrender. One of them is accept things favorable to bhakti. Another is reject things unfavorable to bhakti. There's four more. So her question is, how do I go forward in the surrendering to Krishna process when I don't have the strength or capacity yet to reject the things that are unfavorable and accept all the things favorable? That's your question. You're practicing. That's the answer. Following the principles given by our previous acharyas, you apply those principles to your capacity and you practice them. And by practicing, purification comes. That is to say, the negative things become less attractive, the positive things become more attractive, and it grows in that way. That's sadhana, practice, the stage of practice.
Thank you very much.
Anything? Or we'll go to the prior questions. Okay, we'll go there.
Question from Ruchira Mataji. Did Jiva Goswami have any personal association and interaction with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
No. Other than there's different biographers that say he had none, and there are some biographers that say when he was an infant, when Lord Chaitanya came to visit Ramakeli, as an infant he had that association, but that's it. Otherwise, there's separation. He heard about, but not direct association other than that. And some say not at all, not even when Lord Chaitanya went to Ramakeli. It's not 100% clear. Okay?
Next question. If the acharyas are eternally present in Vrindavan, and all of them are perfect, couldn't they have protected the temples from the Islamic onslaught?
Well, they're not Krishna. And even Krishna didn't stop. You know, it's just like, you know, aside from the breaking of the temples, what's going on in Vrindavan today? It's, you know, the outside of what's going on in Vrindavan today is, it's unclean. The sewage is ridiculous. There's gundas. You know, there's bad stuff that goes on in Vrindavan today. So, same question, you know, it's just a different manifestation of it. And that's the outside or the surface, And the Dham is not the outside or the surface. The Dham, the holy abode of Krishna, the eternal place of Krishna's pastimes, is not accessible by those people.
So another question from Ruchira Mataji.
His plan, my understanding of the history of Aurangzeb's breaking the temple, was from a distance, there's this seven-story, he was traveling with his queen, or whatever, she, his wife or something, and from a distance he saw this light way up in the top in the sky. And he wanted to know what was that. And he was told it's a Krishna temple. He said, break it. His plan was to break the whole temple. They started with the upper floors, and there was some major distraction somewhere, some challenge or some army or something, and so they had to go and take care of that, and they didn't come back. So protection in that way, the whole thing wasn't destroyed. I mean, now that's a narration that I, you know, it's not 100%, you know, clear and authentic, but it's what I've heard more than once. Okay, next question.
You spoke about how Rupa Goswami had taken Jiva Goswami on a pilgrimage of all the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes.
No, Lord Nityananda did that.
And if I heard you right, you said this journey is captured in Rupa Goswami's writings.
No. It became a celebrated event. It was written in Bengali. Later, Bhaktivinoda Thakur got those texts and wrote the whole thing. The detailed day-by-day, you know, place-by-place visit. Navadvip Mandal Parikrama.
So, if so, how we can access those writings? That is the Navadvip Mandal
Parikrama. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's in English now.
Oh, okay. Another question. I don't know this Prabhu's name. Did Mirabai ever meet the Goswamis? There is a story that she met one of the Goswamis. Is there any truth in that?
Some people say yes and some people say no. She was a contemporary. So it would make sense. She was a Krishna Bhakta. So it would make sense. But, you know, anything definitive, it's not 100% yes or no. Likely. Probably. We don't know for sure.
That's it for today.
Okay. So then we'll go on to others. If you don't mind, it'll be 7:34. We'll take just a couple, two or three.
There's one question on the afternoons.
Okay, Vamana, good.
Why does Prahlad, who had Narada Muni as his guru, not get Vraja Prem? Narada was aware of Krishna, Vraja and Vraja Prem. And second part of the question, what was the condition that qualifies one for Vraja Prem?
Narada knew certainly about Krishna's presence in Vrindavan, but Narada is primarily a Vaikunthavasi. That's his mood. And so that's what Prahlad received from Narada, that mood. And the second question is what makes the difference, or what entitles one to become a resident of Vrindavan instead of Vaikuntha? There's a verse in Rupa Goswami's writings that gives the answer very concisely. There's two things, in order to enter into Braja Prem, there's two things. One, you're in your sadhaka activities, you follow the practices, the activities given by the Goswamis, starting with Rupa Goswami and others. That's what you do externally. And then internally, your absorption is the eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. If it's parental affection, it's Mother Yashoda and Nanda, for example, or if it's the cowherd boys, one of the cowherd boys, or if it's the gopis, some of the young gopis, and it gets very specific. So it's the simultaneous cultivation of devotional practices, the sadhana practices, external, and the internal absorption in those eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. That entitles one to enter Vrindavan. There's the answer.
Question from Divyambara Mataji. In case of Bali Maharaj, he was fully surrendered to the Lord. So offense to Brahmana isn't considered. Whereas for sadhana bhaktas, the instructions is to honor Brahmanas as they are dear to Krishna. Does it only apply to Krishna conscious Brahmanas?
You asked?
Yes, the question.
Yes.
And now questions from yesterday's renunciation class.
Okay, let's just do one because of time.
Okay. So this question from Katie Mataji. I am a single woman. If it seems that all I can handle is to maintain my full-time job and chant japa daily, are my job, home and belongings still dovetailed in Krishna service?
Yeah. I mean, what's important is the consciousness, not just the behaviors of chanting. There's a teaching of Rupa Goswami on this topic. And did I share a copy of that with you?
No.
There's a Sanskrit term which I'm not remembering. But it's a common question. So things that are activities that are not clearly in and of themselves for Krishna. Like, you know, you're cooking, but you can cook in the consciousness that I'm cooking for Krishna, etc. But if one is performing some other occupation, whatever that might be. If the consciousness is this is to be offered to Krishna, it's not just karma yoga, it's let the activity, the sacrifice that I'm making in the maintenance of my family and the other duties I'm doing in life be accepted by Krishna. Then there's a certain Sanskrit term, a certain kind of bhakti, something bhakti. So it counts also as bhakti. I'm sorry, I can't remember the term.
One question for today, Guru Maharaj, from Sanchari.
Okay.
What is the reason why Rupa Goswami was the one chosen by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the recipient of the fullness of Lord Chaitanya's mercy?
Because he was qualified. Lord Chaitanya said that was the reason. I find in him the qualification. So I have invested him all of my spiritual potencies. And that's a lot of spiritual potency. One can give another answer, and that has to do with who is he in Krishna Leela? In Krishna Leela, he's Rupa Manjari, who's the principal Manjari assisting Lalita who is the principal gopi assisting Radharani. Lalita is the leader of all the gopis. And Rupa Manjari is her main assistant. She's qualified. Okay, I think we'll end. You were very patient. Congratulations. It's not easy when topics like this go on and sit there and remain very calm and peaceful. Compliments to you. You too. You've heard, how much of what you heard have you heard before? Is it all completely new? Completely new. When you get, as you get older, you'll find out more and more about Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's associates and how elevated they were. They're really amazing personalities. Really amazing. Okay.